today on Real Radio.
The world is longing for someone to stand up and say, hey, Jesus is Lord. Guess what? God loves you guys. He loves me. He loves you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan. It's beyond your ability. You can't even comprehend the vastness of what he's done. It's so amazing that the Apostle Paul, the most amazing convert to Christianity ever, said, I ain't got what it takes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 3 with verses 12 through 14. In these three verses, the Apostle Paul articulates such a clear truth for the heaven-bound Christian, and that is the remarkable struggle that exists in the life of every true believer. You know, we can have religious zeal in every area of our lives, but that doesn't mean we're born again, or what the Bible tells us, born of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do. It's something we yield to. This comes by totally surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ and by filling our minds with His spiritual truths. We'll not be perfect until we cross that finish line, but we're to keep pressing forward until we get to heaven. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us we're to live for heaven while staying relevant here on earth, to stand for truth in such a way that all who witness it will see the love of Christ in all that we do. For what we do in this world matters in eternity. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're not Christians based on our abilities. We're Christians because God is good, and He saves, and He empowers. Again, Paul talks about a marathon runner. In this case, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have finished the race. He's at the end of his life. I tell you what, in my opinion, 2 Timothy 4 is one of the most emotional chapters. I don't know why it always affects me. Now, I'm not going to cry in front of you. I'm okay. But I'm just telling you, you cannot read this. And you know the history of what's about to happen, and he knows it. It just pulls your heart out. Because Paul now, some of us have been there together at the Mamertine prison in Rome. It was Paul's last place on earth before they cut off his head, Rome. This is what he said, his last words. I finished the race. I want that. You know what? Wouldn't that be great on your tombstone? I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I love this way of thinking, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Church, listen, Paul is sentenced to getting his head cut off. And he says, there's a crown of righteousness that awaits me. Can you imagine the executioner saying, Paul, listen, I love you, man. You're great. Sorry I got to do this to you, but I'm under orders. But did you not hear? I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah, yeah. You know what? There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Paul, crowns go on heads. You're not going to have a head soon. Listen, a lot of us as Christians think like that sometimes. Oh my goodness, oh what's going to happen, and what about this, and what about that? Listen, this is not all there is. We are living for another world that's on the other side of our next breath. But what if they do this? What if they do that? It doesn't matter. We are living. We are citizens of heaven. We're living for heaven. It doesn't mean we're irrelevant in this world. In fact, I believe because we are living for heaven, we are absolutely to be relevant in this world. I'm holding back right now about what I think of that. We are to be so relevant, representing heaven, that frankly it should divide people in a godly way. Charles Spurgeon called those blessed subtractions or blessed divisions. We should stand for the truth in such a way. Listen, it has nothing to do with our ability. We have simply come to understand that the Word of God is true. We stand on His Word, and we just let it do its thing. We present the truth in love. As a Christian, I'm grateful to the Lord that the ability, the call is from him. And would you agree, do you sense the Lord in life as it were pushing you, prodding you? Is that the right word? Prod, prodding, pulling, poking. Do you sense him in your life doing that, bringing you along? I think Jesus put it this way. Come and follow me. It's an offer. You choose that call upon people. Some people say, I'm not interested. But when the offer came to you, sometimes in an instant, maybe sometimes over time, doesn't matter. You responded. And Jesus says, come and follow me. And you're following him. Do we have victories? Oh, yeah. Do we have defeats? Yep. What do? Keep following him. What kind of day are you having? I mean, you guys are awesome. It's first service. You haven't had much time to make mistakes today. It's first service. Good for you. Right? I mean, good for you. That's awesome. I have good news for you, though. There's a lot of grace ahead of us today, right? There's a lot of grace. And if you're not a Christian today, but you're religious, you'll say things like this in your mind. Oh, that's so good to hear. A lot of grace. Whew, I can go send up a storm. There's a lot of grace ahead of me today. Listen, do you know a real believer can't think that way? This is so serious. I could end this message right now. In fact, what I'm about to say, I could have said it 41 minutes ago and left the building. It's simply this. If your mind, if your very being is, I want to pursue Jesus, I have not apprehended that very thing for which Christ has apprehended me for, I am not complete, I am not perfected, but this, I press on in pursuit of him. That when the opportunity to sin comes before you, there's a huge tug by your flesh. Oh, that's going to feel good. Oh, that's going to smell good. Oh, that's going to... And the Spirit says, no, it's not good. It's not right. It's not pleasing to him. And your mind will go with whatever's the loudest. And whatever you've sown to will be the loudest. And you'll hear his gentle voice say, Jack, follow me. And I have found in my life that following comes by him prodding, pushing, pulling, tugging, whispering, sometimes in a way almost yelling. I want to show you a picture, and this is a wonderful thing. Look at this. Look at this picture. You guys familiar with this? It's kind of famous, huh? It's amazing. First of all, look at her. Look carefully. Whose foot is across the line? The girl on the right, correct? So if I were to ask you, who won this race? Oh, Oscar, you already knew this answer. If I were to look at it just at the finish line, I mean, listen, isn't this message is entitled Until We Cross the Finish Line. If I had to make a judgment, I'd say the woman on the right. She even looks like she's winning. She even looks like a winner. Look at her. It's like, yes. She's got it. But the winner, as Oscar just said, is on the left. Let me read something to you. This is what the woman on the left had to say when she found out she won. She says... forget her name, by the way, Jennifer Simpson. She says, diving headfirst across the finish line isn't a strategy used by most runners. In the 1500 meter run, she says, in the Diamond League series, female 1500 meter run, the world championship gold medalist says, and here I quote her, I didn't mean to join the divers club, but was knocked over toward the finish line by a fellow competitor, and so I just went with it. Literally, close quote. In other words, she wouldn't have won unless someone pushed her, right? It all, how do you handle these pushes? She says, I was pushed by a competitor accidentally, and I won. She was pushed into the winner. How do you handle life's pushes? Listen, Humpty Dumpty would say, I was pushed. I'm a victim. She would say, turned out good for me. Listen, two things. The world is going to push you, or God's going to push you. The world pushes you around. And when I say push you around, the world says things like this. And look, this is first service, and I'm still living off of Starbucks right now, so I'm feeling a little awake. I'll say this, it's between us. I grew up being pushed in the opposite direction. Yesterday I was doing a wedding at a church and it was all over. Everybody's left and all this stuff, and I was leaving and there was a janitor, and he said, is this your cup on the table? You could tell he wanted to go home. I don't blame him. And I said, yes, I'm sorry. And I started to walk out and I said, hey, you know what? Before I leave, I'm a pastor of a church and I want you to know that what you do, very few people thank you for, that when the rooms are all clean like they are at our church, nobody says a word. But I want you to know that God sees what you're doing. And I wouldn't even known to say this to you unless I was a pastor of a church. And I'm telling you right now, what you do matters, because if you don't pick up stuff, you're going to get it tomorrow morning, aren't you? Yeah. And I said, well, God sees. And you know what he told me? The guy had done time before coming to Christ. And he said, you know what? If I would have had that kind of encouragement when I was young, it would have changed my life. And I said, brother, listen, here's the deal. Me too. Because the words that came to me, they pushed me away from life. My mom loved me dearly. Look, my dad, my dad didn't know love. So I'm sure if I were to ask, I mean, I can't ask him now. He's in heaven now. But if I were to ask my dad, did you love me? He'd say something like, you know, clumsy. It would be clumsy. Do you love me, Dad? Of course I love you. He wouldn't even say that. He would have said, of course I fed you. I brought home the check. That's how he was. It's farm boy, South Dakota, Marine Corps, harder than nails. My mom, orphaned, raised in Hawaii. All that she wanted to do was love. And so life will push you one way and God will push you another way. And for me, life pushed me to where, when I was in high school, I found out that my dad didn't want me. My mom was pregnant, so my dad said to my mom, I'm going to go to Alaska. I'll be back in 9 months. You better be baby free, you know. So she failed at this abortion in 1957, got all messed up from it. I was born in the first few weeks of January 1958. Abortion, listen, here's the thing. You know, you find out about that. When you're a kid, it's like, who cares, whatever. I just, give me some more Cheetos. I didn't care. I remember, I'll never forget it. I was eating Cheetos. Okay, I'm going to go way back. I'm almost 60, so this will make sense. I was eating Cheetos before football practice, watching Sea Hunt with Mike Nelson, Lloyd Bridges. Remember that? It's awesome. I was swimming off the coast of Catalina. It's one of the greatest shows of all time. I'm eating like this, and I hear that. My mom doesn't know I'm in the room. She's telling the neighbor lady next door at our kitchen table. And I can hear, and it's like, ooh, whatever, I don't care. I have Cheetos and Sea Hunt. And then when I was 19, I got saved, and it all began to make sense. Oh my goodness, God, you're amazing. You know what? The world will push you towards death. The world will push you towards depression. The world will push you towards defeat. The world will push you. That's what Satan does. That's what the world does. Have you noticed you've never been good enough for the world? Never. I just found out this morning, an hour and a half ago, I was holding my breath that Kim Kardashian's going to vote for Hillary. Oh my gosh, I've been waiting forever to find that out. Who cares? Who cares? Here's the thing. The world has its mold and it's pressing and pushing and who's what, where. You know what? The world is longing for someone to stand up and say, hey, Jesus is Lord. Guess what? God loves you guys. He loves me. He loves you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan. It's beyond your ability. You can't even comprehend the vastness of what he's done. It's so amazing that the Apostle Paul, the most amazing convert to Christianity ever, said, I ain't got what it takes. It's all about Jesus. So in my life, I can let the world push, and it does, or I can hear Jesus say, follow me. And every time I've obeyed him, it's been good. And when I don't, I get really in the dumps, you know? So be careful. In this pursuit of God, hallelujah, it's in you. If you know him. Listen, in a moment I'm going to ask you to make that decision. You need to understand. Jesus said, everyone I have called, I've called them publicly. He says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Here's the tough part for many of you today. Maybe you've grown up in a very moral home. It's hard for a good person to see their need for Jesus. The only thing is, there are no good people. You know? But you are to respond to him. And I beg you to respond to him soon. Today. How much more crazy does the world have to get for you to realize Jesus is coming soon? We don't know when. I'm surprised he didn't come today. If he waits any longer, it's not going to be a surprise to anybody. I mean, things are going crazy. But look, you don't have to wait for the trumpet blow to happen, the sky to part. You could drop dead today. My goodness, that baseball player this weekend, was it this weekend that, when was it? This morning? Killed. What, 24 years old, future ahead of him? Rock star baseball player, amazing, dead in a boating accident. You think he woke up that morning planning that? You think, no. Listen, God loves you, but you must decide on his love offer. Let's pray, and you decide. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth and for your love and for the depth of your word. If we would only think, if we were to scour the world for religious confessions and articles and testimonies and writings and books, we would find nothing like the Bible. We would find nothing in the religions of the world, in the philosophies of the world, that announces that God so loved you that he sent, provided, gave his only glorified Son. And that's not a New Testament doctrine, my friend, alone. The ancient Hebrew prophets foretold of the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2. That he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7, 14. That he would be God in flesh, Isaiah 9, 6. That God has a son, Proverbs 30, verse 4. and that all judgment has been committed to the Son. Psalm chapter 2. Today is that invitation for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians, please be praying that if today you would recognize and to agree and to receive that you need the Savior to save you from your pride, your arrogance, your lust, your fears, but you've never confessed him publicly. I'll look across this sanctuary today and you'd be saying yes to Jesus. Is that you today? Jesus didn't say how many people had to see your confession. I will look today. I'd love to meet you afterwards, but would you raise your hand if you're saying today, I am now proclaiming, making Jesus my Lord and Savior. Is that you? Is that your decision today? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Is there a sense whereby you need to do this? Raise your hand if that's you. God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Anyone else? God bless you in the back as well. You over here to my left, a couple hands to my left. God bless you too. I'm going to ask all of us now to respectfully stand. Let's all stand. And we'll pray out loud in a moment. Those of you who lifted your hands, will you pray this? But just think about what's going on in this room right now. The word goes out and decisions are made. I always find that so amazing because you can detonate a nuclear bomb and it can't change a person's mind. But the word of God can go out and it changes a person's mind. That's power like the world has never seen. So in this room today, you're either a believer. How many are believers in Jesus? Raise your hands. That's wonderful. There are those who just raised their hands, and there's some of you who might refuse to raise your hands. I just wanted to call that to your attention today, because the choice is yours. Let's pray this. Now, believers, let's pray this out loud. Not that we need to, but it's very fun. It's very encouraging for those that are going to pray it that just raised their hands. Are you ready? Let's pray. Repeat this. Dear Lord, we confess you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, died for me on the cross and risen from the dead. I accept you now as Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and remember, this world will always try to push us towards defeat, but God will complete the good work that He has begun in our lives. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you'd like to get a hold of a pastor, maybe somebody you could talk to help you through the next few steps, you can give us a call, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Please don't hesitate. Give us a call right now. We'd love to help you out with that, 877-RR-RADIO. You could also go to our website if you'd like, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, but give us a call, 877-RR-RADIO. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.